surround. Let me be your throne surround. The Lord, please deserve a mansion rule and crown.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? You look good, you look well, you're feeling good. Do you love God? I really love, singing if you love him, the Lord who will. I really love the Lord. Yes, and you don't. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Well, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he, yes, he does. Yes, he does. For me, oh, well, he watches over me. Yes, and you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, and you don't know what is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Amen, amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning here at the Fieldwater Church, you're a truly honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship this morning, this early in the morning, 8 o'clock service. Well, we know that you had to admit you purposed in your mind to be here. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope we can say something that will touch your heart. If you have a question, if you want us to pray for you, if you need to talk to someone, call the number on your screen. We love to talk with you and speak with you. Also, there are those who are looking at the worship service live through live streaming on your computers. If you're at home somewhere, thank you for tuning in. Many are members who watch our service on Sunday mornings who are not able to be here, and we're glad that we can bring this technology that you can at least experience part of our worship service this morning. And maybe God bless you in every single way. Won't you, let's talk about life this morning. Talk about life. Want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. And I've entitled this lesson, The Circle of Life. And I think the letter and the word of God that gives us more experience about life, Old Testament letter, Solomon, book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest man besides Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls him the wisest man, and he gives some counsel and he gives much. And it's very practical. Some of it is somewhat deep, if you will. He says, there's an appointed time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3:1. The Old Testament, the King James translations. For everything there is a season. God said there's an appointed time for everything. He said, and there is a time for everything, every event under heaven. And then and Solomon goes on to these names a lot of things. He says, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Yes, yes. Your happy time when babies are born. But there is an appropriate time for us to die. It's an appointed time. God appoints that time. He says, there's a time to plant. There's a time to uproot that which is planted. You know the Bible says there's a time to kill. Yeah. And notice now, Solomon, he says there's an appointed season for everything. And some of this we need as we live, we need to, first of all, we need to know what season we are in. Because what the scripture is saying to us is that each moment in time, every phase of life must be treated in the manner that's appropriate. Amen. And he gives us, he says there's a time. Brooke here, I thought the Bible says that thou shalt not murder. It does say that. But if somebody comes in my house, with my family, it's not time for Bible class. Amen, somebody. And now, Bible class is very important. Studying the Bible is very important. But that's not the time for me to convert that man when he's coming into my house. He says there's a time to kill. He says there is a time to heal. And what we need to get a grasp on, too many times we cause more problems and disasters and heartaches because we either trying to hang on to a season that we need to let go, or we are grasping for a time, a season that's not our appointed time right now. Lord, give us some wisdom as we try to live this life. And sometimes it gets confusing. And the Word of God is the best place for us to go. And so I know I won't finish this lesson, so I'll get as far as I can. But if you have I want to start with the young people first, though. Young people first. If you're watching by way of television, you got some 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, go get them and sit them down. Let them listen to the Word of God. Solomon gives us some great words. And our goal in life, according to the scriptures, it should be to enjoy each season. To enjoy each season. Now, we might not live through all of the seasons, all of the times, for what they present to us. Notice, both good and bad. It takes some wisdom to do that. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8, the scripture that was just read in your hearing by Brother Dundee. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8 says, however many years anyone may live. And Solomon, he did it all, if you know this story about Solomon. He had enough money to do anything that he desired to do in his head, to be able to do what he wanted to do, and he did it all. He had it all. And God gave him wisdom like nobody else. And he learned some things, and he shares them. I thank God that the Holy Spirit allowed him to share these things to us who we're not as wise as he was. But if we just listen to what he said, we learn something from the man. He says, how many ever years you may be live, let them enjoy them all. He says, now, how many years? We don't know how many years we're going to live. But one thing we do need to learn how to do is to enjoy life. Amen. We do. We as Christians need to learn how to enjoy life. Amen. I mean, this day you've never had before. Now, why are you going to wake up already in a bad mood before you even leave out the house? Sometimes we depress our own self. We wake up in the morning and just in negative thoughts. So now already messing up 23 more hours in the day. And Simon says, why are you living? How many years you live? Learn how to enjoy life. It is within our power to enjoy life. He goes on to say, but let them remember the days of darkness. Boy, he tempers it. Oh, he brings reality to the situation. He says, now enjoy life. And he tells us how to enjoy it. If you through the passages, I'll share some of that in just a minute. He said, but temper it with this. Remember the days of darkness. And then he says, for there will be many, many of them. We don't want to hear that, do we? I know I didn't want to hear it when I read it. I said, well, but it's the truth, isn't it? Now, what he's saying is, you remember my Solomon also, he says in his, in the same letter, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of mirror. Because, see, it's the days of darkness that we learn our biggest lessons. It's the days of darkness because it's the days of darkness that bring us back to reality to remind us that we're living, we sing the song, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. So this is a temporary existence. He says, enjoy the life while you're here, but learn something when you're going through some trials. It brings us back to the reality that God is in control. It brings us back to reality that we're in a broken world where sin brought death and trouble into this world. Amen. And he says, so don't forget the days of darkness. He said, there's going to be a lot of them, a lot of days of darkness. And so he tempers us to say, while you enjoy life, don't get buck wild and think you own yourself. Amen. Because we have to answer to God. Amen. He says, everything to come is meaningless. You can buy a house, you can buy a car, it's going to get old. When you die, somebody else is going to have it. And it's not going to amount to very much. But there are different seasons of life, different seasons of life. And Simon says, enjoy it. So we need to embrace our season. Recognize, and all of us, and I know some of you, when I said I want to start with the young people, some of you that's older might say, I wish you hurry up and get to mine. But no, we need to understand other folks' seasons. It helps us to be able to understand and minister to others when we understand where they are and where they're going. He goes on to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. This is in Ecclesiastes 11, 9. I wish I had time to go into more detail. He says, you who are young. He speaks, he calls it out. Those that are young, and I know, Brother Gary, what's young? Well, it's not the same as it used to be when I was young, to me. You know, I got it a little older. But he says, you who are young, be happy while you are young. That's what Simon said. He says, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Amen. Hey, young, what, to be young ought to be the best time. Yeah. He said, be happy. I mean, he said, you can define happiness the way you want to define it. But see, when you're young, you have less responsibilities. Amen. Boy, old folks say, man, you better enjoy that. Amen. Well, are you calling me old? Yes, I am. I mean, you know, less responsibility. What does that mean, less responsibilities? See, you don't even know yet. You see, some of our young people don't know what it is to pay a bill yet. you don't know you haven't seen the light bill in your house. You don't know what a car note is. You don't know what a mortgage is. And you know what? You need to say, thank you, Lord, right now. You know, less responsibilities, you know, things we don't have to worry about. You some of us don't know. Some young folks, and I know some young people do. Some people don't know nothing about cooking. All they do is eat. Just eat up everything. Thanksgiving this past weekend, you just ate like a pig. Didn't fix nothing. No pie. You didn't even make drinks. Nothing. All you did was sit and ate. I remember we used to go to family reunions when I was young. And our family reunions and eat around the house when everybody would come over and it'd be so much food and we'd be running around playing and I, you know what I would love when they let you drink as much soda as you wanted. They have coolers of soda, and I remember the golden, some of you old remember Golden Age soda? Golden Age soda, they put them in the can, and I'm telling you, it had different flavors in orange and grape, and sometimes I have a hard time picking what I want. Amen. And I sometimes would drink myself sick. My stomach hurt. How many sodas you had? I don't know. And it sounds funny, but sometimes, even us as adults, we deprive kids of their childhoods. Sometimes life deprives a young person, circumstances of their childhood. Entire childhood memories are so wonderful, and laughing and playing. I watch my grandchildren, and I'm talking about they get up in the morning. And, you know, they get up in the morning, and, you know, they get up and they watch, they brush your teeth. As soon as they get through, they go to the middle of the floor, and they start playing with toys and writing and riding little stuff. And just I come back home, they still in the floor playing. Play all day. Well, yeah, that's what they supposed to do. And some of us, we get mad. What you do? Why are you playing? So let the children play. Yeah. It's going to come a time that they won't be playing. Yeah. And even as our young people get older, you know, teenagers, you know, let's take their joy away from being a, you know, yes, you know, young teenagers, they got energy. And they want to have a good time, and the Bible tells them enjoy it. Yeah, it's wonderful to see kids laugh. It's good for them to laugh and do some. He goes on to say this. He says, follow the ways of your heart. Man, that's dangerous. And whatever your eyes see. He said, He says, follow the ways of. Because different kids have different talents, different interests, different inclinations. And while you're a kid is the time to explore what you really enjoy, what your passion is. And kids, I mean, different kids like all kinds of different. Adults, we need to listen to this. Because sometimes we try to steer our kids. And I'm not noticing. Solomon tempers it also. He goes on to say, he said, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, he tells them to enjoy, but God never tells us to violate his word. So, yeah, enjoy singing and playing and laughing, talking and running and enjoy all of that, but don't enjoy stealing and lying and cheating and doing something that's evil. Because God going to bring you into judgment for anything you do that's against his will. Amen. But he tells all of us as young people to enjoy life. Amen. If you live what the Bible says according to the is the average age of mankind, which is 70 years old, 80 by reason of strength, you will have more time as an older person than you will a younger person. Amen. Many more years. And so he says enjoy it. And I would encourage you that are young, slow time down as much as you can. Don't speed it up. Lord have mercy, don't speed it up. Because it races. It's a time for idealism, and thinking, and imagination, and asking questions, because you surely don't know nothing very much as a young person. You don't know that much. Well, girl, I'm smart. I read books. That's fine, but you haven't experienced life. Amen. Yeah. I was thinking about, you know, one of the advices that I would give a young person is to develop while you're young, find a discipline and master that discipline. You know, become enamored with something that's your passion. I was reading about Orville Redenbacher, you know, the Redenbacher popcorn. I was reading about Orville Redenbacher. He's born in 1907. He lived on a small farm, corn farm. And he was passionate. Even as a child, you read the biographies on him. It says that he was enamored by coming up with a popping corn. He went to Purdue University. He majored in, I think it's called agronomy. If I'm not mistaken, it's the study and science of plants that feed food or that provide food for you. And he did well because because he saw corn, but he loved corn. And after he got out of school, he actually started working for a company, a fertilizing company, and started his own business. Very successful, but every piece of spare time he got, he kept trying to develop this popping corn. And he did. And he started selling it out of his car. And he went into business with another guy. And the rest is history, because, you know, Orville Redenbacher, they at one time said it was the best popcorn. I don't eat that much popcorn, but they say it's the best popcorn. But it became very successful, and companies that sold millions and millions. He's passed away right now. But that passion started as a child, as a small child. And one of the things that we need to do as children is open our eyes, find something that we are passionate about, and start mastering the skill. You know, there are those individuals. I know, you know, I think about things that I used to enjoy. So one of the things that it does, it keeps you out of trouble. Amen. It helps you use up some of that energy that you have. And you know, one of the most popular phrases you hear with young people, we are sitting around saying, I'm bored. Amen. And if you don't find something to do, trouble will find you sooner or later. And he started that as a young man. You said, "Well, what do you like to do?" And I'm not saying, you know, a lot of us, we go to sports, and I play sports, and that's good. I was passionate about sports when I was young, but there are many more things that we can do. But I'm interested in bugs. Well, that's entomology, the study of insects. Well, what starts, master the discipline of study. If you're that interested in bugs, be the best bug man that there is. Master it. You can make your passion, you can even make it to develop it into something that you can make a living in. But as you're young, don't be discouraged when you realize that life is not always fair. Yeah, your life is not always fair. When you're young, you're innocent. And there's a lot of things that discourage us in life. Even some of us as adults, we have scars that came from our youth. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, 11. Solomon said, I've seen something else under the sun. And in his letter, he keeps saying that, everything under the sun. He said, I've seen something else. I've noticed something else under the sun. He said, the race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or fable to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. And sometimes you can be doing the right things and still what you have planned don't happen the way you planned it. It's all a part of life. And see, that is one of the things that sin has brought into this world. Sin can mess up everything. Sin can mess up our families. It can make us have to go in a different direction. So what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying when you're going through life and you hit a curve, you hit a bump, you hit a stopping point, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It is an obstacle that can't be overcome. And, you know, God, and remember that God is always in control. God is not going to let the oppressor win all the time. God is still the reason that the sun rises every single morning. It's just that God's mindset is not our mindset. Isaiah said it in Isaiah 55, chapter 8. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, is what the Bible says. So never correlate fairness and what's going on, and if I do this, this is going to happen all the time. Not necessarily, because God always has a plan working at all time. Yeah, see, one of the things about our young people that I feel for so much is that they're introduced to so much now at a young age. And I just would warn you to not be so impulsive, because that's one of the traits of a young person. And that's one thing that we as older individuals have to remember, how impulsive we used to be. How we are desire-driven. As a young person, you desire-driven. You were, what's going to please me? And I would warn any young person in here right now, don't let your desires enslave you to a future life of misery. Amen? Amen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's some stuff. This stuff can happen to you when you're young. You get involved in and you be a slave to it the rest of your life. If some of us that's older right now could go back right now, there are some choices, there are some places, there are some things, there are some people that we would rather not even existed in our life. And while your young ears may not be able to quite grasp it right now, boy, have mercy, that can keep you, that can, boy, won't that save a whole lot of, boy, that save a whole lot of misery. Save you so much misery. And I heard it when I was young. I heard it when I heard it sitting right in this building. I've heard Brother Foster, and I've heard other teachers, I've heard it in Bible class, they used to say, you know, evil communication, rub good morals. And I've heard them say, you know, be careful who you hang with, and some places, you know, I heard all of that. But as a young person, when you're in that environment, and when you're around that group, and when something is influencing you, well, let me give you something before I leave the young people that'll help you to temper your desires. And it is, I promise you, this is just for me personally, it is the only thing besides my parents' influence that helped me to temper. Because now when you're young, God put, see, in other words, God made us. He made us to be emotional creatures. And he made us to have vitality. He, as young people, he gave us energy. Ask some of these folks in here that's 60 plus years. They can't do what their mind telling them to do. Some of us, and sometimes we act like we can do it and we make a big mistake. Listen to what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And Timothy was a fairly young preacher at this time. He said, you, however, continue in the things you've learned. And see, that's why as you're a young person, you need to be like a sponge. And you need to listen. You know, you need to listen. You need to, and he says, Timothy learned from his grandmother, and he learned from his mother. And he listened. He says, continue in the thing. But one of the things that we need to do more than that is not only listen, we need to apply some of the things we learn. And sometimes we do good. Sometimes. You know, I was a pretty good boy. Most of the time. You've heard me say that before. I was a pretty good boy most of the time. But let me tell you something about one thing I learned about life myself. You can be pretty good most of the time and still get in a whole lot of trouble. Amen. By being bad one time. Amen. Amen? Amen? Oh, Lord. Well, I'm telling you, I can stay on this. Because, why, Brother Gary? Let me tell you something. God, see, some of this, some bad that don't happen to you that you do when you're young, you know why it don't happen to you? Because you got somebody praying for you. You got a mama, you got a daddy, you got a grandmother. You have folks who's trying to live godly lives, and they are praying for you, and God will spare you because somebody else is praying for your hard-headed self. And then the other reason is, I believe God knows who's sincerely seeking him. He says he's a rewarder of those who diligently, notice this, seek him. You might not understand everything, but you seeking God. That's why I see God despises rebellious, high-minded, haughty, proud individuals. And you're young, but continue to try to do what you know is right.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you strive to do what you know. He goes on, listen to what he said. He says, continue in the things you've learned and come convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from your childhood. See, every young person is not having sex before they're 18. First of all. See, there's this, you know, we make it say, well, you know, Brooke, all young people, they do. No, not all of them. No. Every young person is not smoking weed, whatever y'all call it. Every young person is not drinking alcohol. Every young person is not lying to their parents. Every young person is not trying to get away with everything that they can get away with. And I, you know, why are you harping on this? Because I'm going to tell you why. Because I know somebody was praying for me.
Amen.
I made some mistakes. And let me tell you something else I did. I saw so many of my peers, my friends, notice it, at school, at Cashmere High School, at Key Middle School, notice this, and at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, who made poor choices, and it cost them.
Amen.
I say it cost them because it costs them.
Amen.
I mean, it's stuff that you don't want to go through.
Amen.
In their young, and notice this, I'm talking about in their young life. I'm talking about real life. Notice this. Solomon said, enjoy life, have fun, play football, play basketball. But remember, don't go crazy. Yeah. Be good at what you do. But listen to your parents. Yeah, eat what you want. Don't steal it. Yes, and I know, you know, a lot of times we do things because we want the praise of others. You know, you can run fast. You like to go. Your parents, take them where they want to go. Let them do some things. Let them enjoy. Stop stifling the young person. Don't start talking. I hear some of you in your mind, yeah, but tell my mama to let me go stay at the party all night. She's not going to do that. I didn't say that. But I tell you what, I had some restrictions on me. I had to be home at a certain time. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, back then, I didn't want to be home at that time. But you know what? It could be what that you didn't go nowhere at all. Some parents don't let, you know, I was glad I had some parents that would, they would give me a little rope. Thank you, Lord, for that little rope, Daddy. You could have gave me a little more, though. Ooh, Lord have mercy. No. My goodness. Young people, your season is not to demand respect. See, sometimes you're in the wrong season. You're out your circle. You see, listen, your season is to absorb, to learn, to obey, to comply, to seek, to ask questions. And you too young to be saying, I'm grown. You not grown. You don't know what. I have a definition of grown. It's mine. It's not even in the encyclopedia or the dictionary. You grown when you own your own. Without assistance from mama or daddy. You have your own accounts, your own place, your own food, and your own ride. Then you grow. You chew on that one a minute. Some of you you couldn't go nowhere. You even if you have a car, can I have some gas money? You not grown. Nowhere close. See, your season is not to demand respect. Now, what you need to be doing is earning respect. I don't know if I have this even in my notes here. I believe it's in Luke 2:52. Jesus kept increasing. Notice this. Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself, was born just like we are born. And he, although he's the Son of God, he went through the process of growing and learning, increasing in knowledge, learning the respect and favor of men. Why did he do? How did he do that? Because he wasn't rebellious. He listened. And it's wonderful when people older, they recognize that young lady, she's a hard worker. Yeah. What time is that? Right? That's clock. My goodness. I'm gonna transition into the next season. See, there's to everything. There's an appointed time. Everything. There's a season. And we move on to where the apron strings are cut. Manhood, womanhood. Our young lives, that'd be the springtime. This would be, I guess, equivalent to the summertime, where this reason a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, Genesis 2:24. Where, you remember Abraham, God told him to get out of his father's country. It's the season of production. See, our young years, it's the season of preparation. See, we get to manhood, it's the season of production. Use Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It's a time of strength to do. God, when he put man and woman on the earth and Adam and Eve, they didn't grow. They were not young children. They were adults. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. Gave them responsibilities. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Tells us whatever your hand finds to do, Solomon says, do it with your might. Says, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where we're going. And we all are going to. If we die before Jesus comes back again, we're going to the place of abode of those that are dead. Everybody's headed that way. He said, and there's going to come a time that we can't do nothing. I don't care if it's on your calendar, it's in your computer, when it rings, there come a time that none of us will be able to do nothing. Amen. And life and time is so fleeting. Yeah, and so, and this is to us that are in this season, that, you know, we're not teenagers anymore, teeny boppers, and, you know, it's a time that we get a little bit more serious about life. Amen. Amen. He says, if all of us to enjoy our life, but it means every day, not playtime. You know, you enjoy it, but know this, that you, notice what he says in Proverbs 15:19. That's getting blurry. That's better. The way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. There's a lot of wisdom in that. The way, your path in life, to the person, the people that's lazy, is like walking through thorns. Then he says, but the path of the upright is a highway. And that goes for whether we're married or we're single. And I know, you know, those of us are single, we still may be looking for a mate. That's okay. But don't hang your hat on it. It might not happen. It may happen. If it happened, that's good. We hope you find the right one.
Amen.
Amen. Don't get quiet on me now. Well, we're just talking about life. Because in life, in real life, you know, we hit curves, don't we? Mm-hmm. Some of us get married and hit a curve. But it's still, it's a time to be productive. And I was thinking, I said, because, you know, I guess I'm in this period, although I think I'm kind of in the autumn. But, well, I think I'm in this period. I don't want to go too fast. But it's the time, like in the church right now, in Fifth Ward Church of Christ, the group of individuals that's let's say, I'm put an age on it, let's say 25 to 50, 55. You use that time wisely in life. You know, it's not time to, you know, it's the time that we are doers. We're doers. You know, we're more mature, and you know, we trying to be individuals. We're trying to be, you know, not dependent on nobody else. And it's the time that God wants us to be doers. It, at the phase of our lives, and he goes, listen, let me just say this to those that are single. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them to, if they remain even as I. Paul is talking. And of course, he's talking about a period of challenges that the church is going through. But he said, it'd be good now that if you stay single because of the stresses that's going on. He says, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And so he says to the singles as you're going through life, and I say that, Brigade, you're not single. I know I'm not single, and I'm not saying that I understand everything that you're going through. But notice this. He says to the single folk, Paul was single, so Paul could talk to the singles. He says, if you're single, he says, you're going through life. See, now he was talking about the stresses that were going on. We're going through distresses right now.
Amen.
In our world. And I'm going to tell you something. You get married, you got a whole lot more responsibilities. Married folk, can you say amen? And listen, now, remember this. He says, enjoy life. Now, see, don't spend your single life dreading life. Well, I just wish I could find a man. I wish I could find a woman. I can't have, come on. Now, I'm not downplaying at all, but listen. Don't waste your time worrying every day about a man you don't have.
Amen.
Because if you get him, it might be the worst thing. That's just the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Woman. And I know, I mean, I feel like I needed to be married. Those that sing right now in here probably feel like you need to be married. And I'm not saying that you don't, but I'm saying don't dread every day. Don't walk around moping about you don't have a man or a woman. Paul says, what you need to do is get busy doing the Lord's work.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I believe that works all, every single day. That works for all of us. This comes from the Word of God. This is not from Brother Gary. This comes from the Word of God. And see, I just believe that we have to have faith that God will provide for all of our needs.
Amen.
But when we're sitting around wasting days, not enjoying life, dreading, walking around moping and sobbing and whining and complaining, nobody not gonna want you like that, no way. That's for males and females. Yeah, yeah. We're just talking about life, everyday life, everyday issues, everyday problems that we have in life, how God can help us. He says this in Proverbs chapter 7, verse, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 7, 32. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord. Excuse me. Is one who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the thing, notice this, of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. That's the truth. I promise you. I love studying. I love reading. You know, I love teaching. I love preaching. But Sister KB calls quite often. And she wants her time. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, she wants her time. She demands her time. I know you study. I know you're a man of God. I know you love the Lord. I know somewhere else is coming after that. You know what? I'm telling you something. I'm just telling the truth. I can say this to you while you're in here, because I know she's not going to say nothing to me while you in here. Is sometimes I get tired of her saying that. I get tired of her. She'll say, now, KB, I don't want to hear nothing about this after this lesson. Sometimes she'll say, you're a good man. You work. I know you got all these, you talking to all these people. You need to spend more time with the grandchildren. You need to spend more time with me. We need to go somewhere. I'm tired. You got some on your calendar for me? Would you look at your calendar and see what you got on here for me? But you know, I love my wife. Amen. I love her. I love her. Yes, sir. I love her. I wouldn't trade her for $1 million. Amen. Maybe $2 million. No. Ooh. Listen. See, that's why I knew. Oh my goodness, I'm past some time. But I wanted to slow down because I know. See. Everyday, some of the everyday issues of life are stopping us from being where God would have us to be. And we get bogged down and we forget what's really truly, and we get to looking at other folks. And see, some of us is older, we're looking at young folks. We'll see young folks running or shooting a basketball. We say, ooh, I remember when I used to be able to do that. Ooh, I used to be able to run like, well, you can't do it now. Why are you going back there? Why are you hurting yourself like that? Amen. Ooh, look at brother and sister son. They always sit up front. Ooh, I like the way he, watch him, he gonna hug. When he sit down, he put his arm around his wife. And he gonna open the door for her. But, well, that's good. But why are you doing yourself like that? First of all, he might be doing that because he did something bad to her. I'm just saying, you don't quit doing your, you don't, what you see is not always what is. Amen, somebody. I got to stop. I'm going to finish this next Lux Lost Day. The Lord say the same. Every day. We serve a good God. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness while we're living on earth. And that's going to get us the glory, but we got to listen to him. We can't be hard-headed. We need to recognize where we are. We need to recognize who we are. Amen. But more than that, we need to recognize who we serve. Amen. You know the conclusion. Some of you know the conclusion of this. Yes, sir. And I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you next Sunday if the Lord says the same. We still living and we still here. Amen. Next Sunday. But we serve a good God, don't we?
Amen.
We're thankful that we serve a good God. You're here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible. Pleasing me that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is the reward of those that diligently seek him.
Amen.
You're here today, and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to repent of all of your sins, to confess Christ, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and it continues to wash us from all of our sins. It is the absolute best life. It's the only life that's going to get you from earth to glory.
You need to submit to his will. If you're here and you have a prayer request, you need us to pray for you, you need to get something right with God, we'll pray for you. Either way, won't you stand as we sing this?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the soul,
cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in